Welcome, everyone, to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. It's Wednesday afternoon at 5, so this must be Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning into your local campus and community radio station on a late July Wednesday afternoon. Today on the Dr. Andy Show, I've got a number of poets. Most of them undergraduates, some of them just about to graduate, students who have been enrolled in an advanced poetry workshop this summer and who are eager to share the fruits of their poetic labors. We're going to be hearing from them, talking to them about their poetry and hearing some samples. Later on in the program, I've got some recorded poetry to share with you and, as always, some interruptions with jazz. These are the summer sounds that you've come to expect on everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Quick program note, a week from tonight will be the, I believe, final Poetry Night poetry reading at Bistro 33. It's true, Bistro 33 is turning their banquet room into a nightclub of sorts. It'll be another hot spot for Davis people with an appetite for DJ spun rock and hip hop, a dance floor, and a place to meet with friends after hours. It'll become a 21 and over portion of the restaurant exclusively. And as a result, there will no longer be room for poetry at Bistro 33. So the final poetry night at Bistro 33 is going to happen next Wednesday. Thereafter, the John Natsoulis Gallery exclusively, first and third Thursdays, starting this fall and lasting forevermore. A week from tonight, it'll be Bob Stanley. Bob Stanley is the poet laureate of the city of Sacramento, longtime president of the Sacramento Poetry Center, a baseball lover, a jazz lover, a performer, a bon vivant. He's just the sort of poet that people flock to when they hear his outstretched poetry in public places. Well, we'll be in a public place of sorts. We'll be on the patio of Bistro 33 a week from tonight. Bob Stanley will be there, and who will introduce him? Well, I will. But reading before Bob Stanley will be Lloyd Waldo. Lloyd Waldo is a recent graduate of UC Davis. He's a musician. He spent the last couple of years teaching English in the Czech Republic. He's also a multi-instrumentalist. He'll be bringing instruments with him, new songs, new poetry. He'll be opening for Bob Stanley, the final poet to be performing at Poetry Night at Bistro 33. That's a week from tonight, August 3rd, 2011. This afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, we have a number of poets who are going to share with you some of their work. First up is Crystal Tao. Crystal Tao will soon graduate from University of California at Davis. I think she's just completed her final class or classes, earning a BA in English and Chinese. In addition to being a poet, and for right now a Davisite, she has an undying fondness for survival horror video games, such as Silent Hill. Crystal Tao, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, thank you.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
So was that poetry workshop your last class, or did you take another class this summer?
No, that was the only class I wanted to stay in Davis for. I think I could have graduated in spring, but I wanted to gain a better discipline over my own, I guess, somewhat lazy tendencies to not write every day. I wanted to be able to write every single day, at least for an hour, and I was hoping to use the workshop as a beginning point for that.
Excellent. What do you see as your long-term writing goals?
Hopefully one day to be published.
Yeah.
I once said to myself when no one else was around while I was alone in the bathroom, I want to be poet laureate, but we'll see.
Yeah.
That's a very far away goal.
Well, you know, there are a number of steps towards the poet laureate. You could become the poet laureate of a particular town, perhaps of your neighborhood. I don't know. You know, if you run unopposed, chances are good.
Thank you. That's really helpful information. So
okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
All right. Keep that in mind. You are graduating with a BA in English and Chinese. Are you returning home, as many students with a BA in English do, to hang out with parents as you decide on your next professional and academic goal?
For the moment, I'm going to return home to San Jose, where my parents are, save on living costs, and first thing to work out is how to take care of those student loans, those horrific impending student loans. In the meantime, I'm considering multiple job options. Other than being the typical teacher, I suppose, I am also considering being a cop,
mm-hmm.
because, frankly, it pays well.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, good. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that. But for right now, let's hear a sample of your poetry. How would you characterize your poetry, and what poem have you chosen for today?
Usually I like to use artistic language. Sounds a little bit conceited to say that, but I really like language that is refined, so I try to head in that direction. And the poem that I brought today is called Children.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great, let's hear it.
Okay. Children, have you ever slept with a cat? With a creature who treads linear paths on tiptoe across the carpet, whose underbelly is softer than yours and dabbles with a thatch of white on black over the pink of skin, whose acid green eyes squint shut when you play by its muzzle? Have you ever felt its weight burrowed between the valley of your thighs, saw the cluster of veins in its ear glow red against the sunlight, watched the nostrils flare, open, shut, open, shut? Have you ever let your leg go numb because the cat flicked its tongue over its nose and kneaded the globe of your calf, but its eyes still rolled under closed lids, and from its mouth issued a chirp, 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 chirp? Have you ever let the day go numb with the cat wrapping a slow indent in the blanket with its tail and watched the dust motes trickle through the air with no more than a twitch of the eyelash, a twitch of the whisker?
Excellent. That was Crystal Tao sharing with us her poem, tell me the title again.
Children.
Children. And in terms of, I very much enjoyed that, in terms of the artistic language that you use, do you find that you're able to practice that inspired by other poets? Have you done work as an artist? Where do you find that necessary combination of reflectiveness, artistry, and observation?
I think it helps to be in provocative situations or to meet provocative people. And I spend a lot of spare time drawing and also going to conventions, art conventions, and that also helps because I get to interact with very different perspectives from mine of other artists who also write in their free time or draw a lot. And I think reading is also extremely helpful. I'm very fond of Leon Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And originally when I first started writing poetry, I think most of my inspiration was from him. So, and we also share a common background, which also is something that drew me to him in the beginning when I first started learning about poetry.
Excellent. Well, I've played, long-time listeners of this radio show have heard Leon Lee's voice many times. I've played recorded poems by him. I'll see if I can find one if we have time. Maybe we can share it at the end of the show today. Crystal Tao, thank you very much for sharing with us your poem, Children.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'm going to bring on another poet. But first, here's a little bit of Chicago's avant-garde jazz, the NRG Ensemble with Hyperspace. Maybe that's a little bit too avant with the avant-garde there. This is from a CD called Chicago's Avant Today. And it features tracks from Chicago Underground, Ernest Dawkins, Jeff Parker, and Malachi Thompson. This is the NRG Ensemble with avant-garde jazz, Hyperspace. Here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Joe Nijma is here. He's the co-founder and CEO of Stay Mobile Scooters. I've had him in my class all quarter, and I didn't know he was the CEO of anything. Perhaps many of my students are CEOs of things. I know I am. It doesn't often come up in conversation. If you want to find out more about Stay Mobile Scooters, then visit staymobilescooters.com. I've got the co-founder right here, Joe Nijma. Joe, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So I was talking to Crystal about her plans after graduating. Are you going to be a senior this coming year?
Yes, I am.
And I'm wondering what your plans are and if they involve the continued husbandry of Stay Mobile Scooters.
Yes, they do. I plan on going back home and working on that company a little more.
And where's home for you?
San Jose, California.
All right. And let me give you a chance to plug for just a moment. Why would one need a Stay Mobile Scooter? And what's this is an alternative to what?
This is an alternative to crutches, which are really bothersome to especially elderly people
mm-hmm.
who have, it really hurts to walking when you can have something that's a lot more comfortable.
When you can scoot.
Exactly.
Excellent. All right, good. And if you want to find out more, that's staymobilescooters.com. All right. Joe's here, and he wants to share with us a poem. Joe, say something about what you've discovered about poetry this summer or something about your own writing style.
I discovered a lot about poetry. I actually read more poems during the 6 weeks of this class than I did all 3 years of my undergraduate career,
mm-hmm.
which is actually pretty nice. And I learned a lot about what makes a strong poem, and I think I've become a stronger poet because of it.
Excellent. What's the title of the poem that you're going to share with us this afternoon?
Richard Manson, Resort and Spa for the Elderly.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. He sits in the chair with wheels, alone with the dark, eyes focused on a glare, chips flaming hot burned into his mind. He is entangled with the fiery red octopus. The tentacles wrap all around him and squeeze his Adam's apple until it cracks. Pain drips down his face. He has no strategy to escape the company of his own loneliness. No anticipation to see a familiar face at his door or in his room. He has no desire to hear the telephone ring, no yearning to listen to the voice of that friend who has nothing to say when he calls, but can stretch the conversation to a good hour or two. He takes a deep breath at the Richard Manson Resort and Spa for the Elderly. He does not wish to see fluorescent lights in his room turn on. He closes his eyes and blows out the candles one last time.
All right. That was Joe Nijma, a student in the Advanced Poetry Workshop that is sponsored by the English Department's Creative Writing Program, held this summer. What are you going to do with the rest of your summer, Joe?
I'm going to be taking summer session two.
All right. Any classes worth noting, mentioning here on the radio?
Intro to Hip Hop Dance.
Excellent. That's great. You're making UC Davis seem just as hip and cool and with it as we all know it to be. Joe Nijma here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to hear from another one of our undergraduate poets. Joe, thanks for coming on the radio show.
All right, thanks for having me.
Sure. This is KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. We're featuring the work of all sorts of undergraduate poets on today's show, poets who have been participating in the Advanced Poetry Workshop sponsored by the English Department at UC Davis. And just got a phone call that there are some poets standing outside the building. When I asked them if they're on the north entrance, I heard some garbled noises. Clearly, they're standing at the south entrance. Nobody stands at the south entrance. No wonder they can't get in. But one of our poets is going to go let them in, and we'll see if that works out. a bevy of poets to share with you this afternoon. Evan White is here in the studio. This is not the Evan White who is a senior at UC Davis and hiding a cat in his South Davis apartment. He adds, Tucker, if you're listening, get off the windowsill. Ladies and gentlemen, Evan White. Evan, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. So what have you been learning about poetry and writing this summer?
Well, kind of like the previous two poets, I took this hoping to develop a little bit more of a refined work ethic, if nothing else, because I feel like that's a big part of the craft, because most of it's unpleasant editing and writing and revising and so forth, and every so often it's sort of made up for by those moments where, like, oh, I really have something.
So you were looking as much for a drill instructor as you were for a poetry teacher.
And it's been wonderful in both regards, I'll say that. So I was looking to improve my, I think, perspective on, or my work ethic, let's say, and I think it's definitely helped with that.
Excellent. Good. Glad to hear it. How would you characterize your poetry? How is it different from other poets that you've met or heard?
Well, I'm always hesitant to liken myself to an actual poet, sort of jokingly, but also I am very interested in prosaic narratives, so to speak, and I think that that is very clearly reflected in the work that I've done, most of the work that I've done over summer for this class, and I think will be reflected by what I read here. So in that way, it's not necessarily traditional poetry, though I suppose after our class I don't really know what traditional poetry might be defined as.
Yeah, we didn't delve too much into traditional poetry. Save that for another class. Have you taken English 45, Introduction to Poetry?
I have not.
That's a great one. I haven't taught that for a number of years, but I encourage it to all of you listening at home, if you happen to be a UC Davis student, or if you can just sneak in English 45, Introduction to Poetry, a terrific class offered here at UC Davis.
Maybe I'll run into them there.
No doubt. Evan, what's the poem that you're going to share with us this afternoon?
This is a piece called Why Does the Caged Bird Sing?
Excellent. Let's hear it.
Why does the caged bird sing? I gave an African gray a peanut once. That's a parrot, gray with red tail feathers. The peanut was the standard type. The bird saw I had the bag in my hand and started screeching and screaming. I'm told bird owners call it singing. So I held the peanut through the bars, pleased with myself that I was making the bird's day a little brighter. A few moments later, as I pressed a towel around my bleeding finger, I regretted using my bare hand to offer the peanut instead of something more appropriate, like fire tongs, maybe, or someone else. The bird watched me hopping on one foot, staining a towel red with my thumb, and started singing again. Do I know why the caged bird sings? Clearly it wants the peanut in your hand, also blood. You ever seen a button quail? I worked around them for a long time, cleaning and feeding and so forth. They walk instead of fly. Darwin's theory that the best is yet to come didn't apply to them. Every day I'd pull the tray out of the cage to change the newspaper at the bottom, and they'd start running back and forth instead of stepping off of it. Imagine you were in a room, and the far wall starts moving slowly towards you. Behind you, there is a large, welcoming door that presents easy exit. But instead of going that way, you run back and forth as the wall gets slowly nearer and nearer, until one shoulder is touching the door, and the other is against the wall. If you've never watched a button quail, this is roughly what you haven't seen. Do I know why the caged bird sings? If it's a button quail, it probably forgot around the time it decided to walk rather than fly. Anthony belonged to a friend of mine. This cockatoo, this Anthony, didn't like me. He made that clear one time when he was flying around and I let him rest on my shoulder. I could just see him out of my left eye, looking at me calmly as if to say, "You're all right, I judged too quick." Then his eyes got wide and he defecated down my back. At that point, I told him I didn't like him much either. He hissed a good deal at that. "You're the one that started... Do I know why the caged bird sings?" He wants to let you know he doesn't much like you. That's my experience anyway. This other bird a while back, this parrot, she liked me a lot. Every time I'd see her, every time I was near her, she'd whistle and croon. I'd go over and stroke her down her back and ruffle her feathers. She'd sort of flip her head side to side, clicking. Then I found out she was attracted to me, like sexually. Apparently, I was stroking her in the same way a male parrot who wanted to mate with her would. She wasn't nearly as put off by this as I was. I would probably have been fine with pursuing the commitment, except that I have standards. Certain ones, especially unwritten ones, that I won't budge on. Like, is not a bird. I never meant to excite her like that. I just thought she liked it. Actually, she did like it. That was the problem. Do I know why the caged bird sings? If you pet them in their happy spot, without knowing it, there is a definite reason they sing when they see you. One time, a woman told me she accidentally sucked her parakeet into a vacuum hose. You did what? With the hose, she said. She got too near the bird with the hose. Why vacuum so close to it, and with such a powerful machine? She said the bird was sitting on the back of the sofa, and she didn't see it. She let it out of the cage to stretch its wings. The parakeet wasn't even hers, she said. My mother's, because she started talking to the people on the television. We got her the bird so she'd have something real to talk to. I guess it talked plenty inside the vacuum. From what she said, it was practically fluent as it was spun and hurled around. We still have him, she said. Made a miracle recovery. My mother, though, she passed away. You want a bird? Do I know why the caged bird sings? If the cage is a vacuum cleaner and the bird is a bird, then yes. Otherwise, when the caged bird sings, it's anyone's guess. The sky's the limit. Unless, of course, you're the bird. Then the bars of the cage are the limit, and when you sing from behind them, the only thing to hear are all the reasons you're caged to begin with.
That was Evan White, ladies and gentlemen, reading I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings here on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. He's a Davis poet. This is the Davis radio show, but you can hear it throughout the Sacramento Valley and everywhere else via the World Wide Web and iTunes. KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks, Evan.
No problem. Thank you.
Dr. Andy with an important message. Cigarette smoke releases harmful gases like carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide. These gases can be particularly harmful to babies and children whose bodies are still developing. When around others, especially children, make the effort not to smoke at all. However, if you must smoke, smoke outside, for that makes smoking a cigarette your choice and does not subject others to harmful side effects. Visit don'tpassgas.org for more information on the effects of secondhand smoke. This is a message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Thanks for tuning in to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. We've got a great number of poets here in the studio. One of them neglected to sit in the hot seat so that he could share a poem. I wonder who that's going to be. But for right now, we're reviewing the poetry of some of Davis's youngest and most up-and-coming poets. Next up, hold on, let me see who next up will be. Jacob Mathis is here. Jacob Mathis is a archery champion. He's a snowboarder, and he's often seen sunbathing on a raft on Poudre Creek. He's also a poet, and he has written a poem to share with all of you this afternoon. Jacob Mathis, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So tell me about how your poetry might be characterized.
Well, besides being filled with all my experiences as a professional archer, I try to just put a lot of my other outside experiences in life as much as possible, just from the everyday mundane, trip to the bathroom to the life-changing things.
So you include in your poetry both the archery and the non-archery?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think people at home want to hear an example. I'll bring down the jazz. Jacob will bring up the poetry here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. What's the poem you're going to share with us?
This poem's titled Capital Selections.
Excellent. Let's hear it.
America, it's the 4th of July, and I have $2 to my name and nothing in my stomach but half a loaf of stale bread and the rumbling, grumbling dream of becoming a successful American. America, I am afraid you may expect too much of me. At dark, the city's park teems with middle-class families, while overhead the upper classes sit out on their patios in vintage eames, where the pyrotechnic spectacle can be viewed almost at eye level. In the park, blankets are laid on the grass and bodies are laid flat so enraptured eyes can effortlessly gaze upward in the aim of getting lost in the splendor of the spectacle. On the patios, they sip mojitos and enjoy the smell of their upper lips. If they were to ever look down, they would see the glistening reflection of fire as it beams from thousands of desperate eyes below in the dark. The hot summer air is moist, and midway through the show, a mass of ash and smoke builds like a storm cloud right above the people in the park. A Shirley Temple draped in a tattered and mangled American flag cries, "What a jip! I can't see the fireworks anymore, Daddy. Is it over already?" In the park, the finale is never seen. It remains a bitter and elusive dream. And for those who overlooked in the comfort of their estates, the finale, they say, wasn't even really that great. America, when will you lower your expectations?
That was Jacob Mathis. Tell us again the title of the poem.
Capital Selections.
Who are some of the poets that you turn to for inspiration or whose words you hear resonating inside your own?
Well, the hypotactic structure of this one definitely draws a lot from Allen Ginsberg, specifically the apostrophe to America, definitely.
Excellent. And your plans after the summer, are you taking Summer Session 2 classes?
I am indeed taking Summer Session 2 class. It's just a film studies, so I'm taking it easy.
Excellent. And that's through the film studies program. Do you know who's teaching that one?
I'm not sure, actually, whose class I signed up for. That's kind of how I go. But I'm sure I'll learn his name or her name.
Excellent. Well, I hope that you make some excellent discoveries in the world of film studies.
I hope so, too.
10 years ago this summer, I was teaching the literature of film criticism for the English department. We went over The Matrix, which came up in class today, I believe, as well as great movies by Charlie Chaplin. I think we did Casablanca. We did Citizen Kane. A lot of the greats. I'm sure you'll see some great films this summer as well.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jacob Mathis, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Another poet up in just a moment. Stick around. Wednesday afternoon in Davis. That means the farmer's market is going strong. I'm going to be heading over there in about 35 minutes, hanging out with two out of my three children. If you see me there, I'm dressed in a bright red Hawaiian shirt. Make sure you stop and say hi. Let me know if you have plans to see poetry at Poetry Night a week from tonight at the Bistro 33 patio. In addition to Lloyd Waldo, the Czech-informed American composer and poet, we will be regaled by poetry of the Poet Laureate of Sacramento. None other than Bob Stanley will be the final reader at Bistro 33 for this poetry series, which is moving over to the John Natsoulis Gallery twice a month, first and third Thursdays. Another poet who you'll often see at poetry readings around town is Philip Ting. Philip Ting is an undergraduate here at UC Davis. He mixes both page and stage into his performances, memorizing some poems and reading others. You never know what you're going to get with a Philip Ting poem, and this afternoon will be no exception. Philip Ting, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello, Dr. Andy.
Great to have you here. So all of us are impressed that you've got no paper in your hands. What do you have planned for us this afternoon?
I have a poem that's not titled, and as usual, it's for the lady friend who doesn't exist.
Right, well, sometimes those are the most responsive. All right, Philip Ting with an untitled poem here on KDVS.
This morning, I woke up with a smile, if you were only there to see it. I felt as if I had a 5-course breakfast, if you were only there with me to eat it. And my roommate, he thought I was on drugs, that I would be foolish to call you an addiction, like I needed a dose of you every time I was down, depressed, languid with that anguish, suffering in pain, and I put you away in a vial when I'm done. And where's the fun when the woman I'm in love with is stuck in an orange translucent cell underneath a twist-on cap? Because damn beautiful. I want to be with you every day, and every day from now on, I want to smile so big, so enormous, my lips part like the red currants, and my teeth pulled off a performance, and I want you to be there to see it. And my emotions, they run around and dance to choreographed number, trying to impress you, hoping to get a round of applause, but a sweet smile from you would do. Crisp like the morning dew on a blade of grass in the field, you make me chill, making me lay still on my bed, wondering when's the next time I'll ever see you again, because I want to show you how happy you've made me, and it's been a while since I woke up with a smile.
Philip Ting, ladies and gentlemen, here in the studios of KDVS. So, Philip, do you hope to memorize most of the poems that you finish and are pleased with? How do you decide which ones to memorize and which ones will stay mostly on the page to come out occasionally?
Well, I do hope to memorize most of the poems that I write, but since I have a short attention span, it's kind of hard, and I'd rather just exercise my thoughts, and whatever sounds really good in flow, I tend to choose those poems to memorize.
We were talking about Dana Gioia earlier today, and former chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts, now a named professor of poetry at USC. Dana Gioia, instead of coming to the poetry reading lectern with a book or a stack of papers, he just brings one 3x5 card where he's written the titles in the order of the that he would present his poems, because it seems that he keeps his entire oeuvre, his entire, all of his poems memorized and sitting in his head for the amusement of others.
That's amazing.
It is. It's amazing, though, when you're at a cocktail party with him and he breaks into poem out of context. It can be a little confusing. And then you have to sit there and smile and nod during the entire performance. Because he's not an egomaniac, he has also memorized the poems of a great number of other people. And so he's got a mini lecture ready for any occasion. It's fun. We should bring him up to Davis again. Last time we brought him up here, he was just about to become the chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts. So that must have been about 7 years ago. I think it's time for another visit from Dana Gioia. Philip Tang, that was a lot of fun. Thanks very much for sharing your work.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. We've got undergraduate poets this afternoon on the radio show. Stick around. Christopher Yu is here in the studios of KDBS. He's an undergraduate here at UC Davis, a fourth-year English and economics double major, and he is preparing to share with us a poem. But let's find out first a little bit more about him. English or economics? What will be the driving force behind your paychecks in a year and a half? Do you think, Christopher?
My paychecks?
Yeah. How are you going to be making money? Do you plan to go into graduate school? What are your plans after you leave UC Davis?
Well, more and more, yes, I do plan to go to graduate school, and more, it's going to be for English, I feel.
Excellent.
I initially started in with a very strong direction in economics because my entire family is very business orientated. But more and more since I've been here, it's been sort of my own thing to pursue English.
And have you been seduced more by literary studies and theory or by the creative writing aspect of your undergraduate English major?
I'm definitely taking the creative fiction path, even though I've taken some critical theory classes. I really enjoy that too, but we're poets, so we want to, you know, talk about ourselves and
sure
express ourselves.
Absolutely. And are there poets or fiction writers that come to mind that you most enjoy or have been your favorite influences as you continue to find your own voice as a writer?
Yeah, during the summer, my man has been Charles Bukowski, who was introduced to me just earlier in this season, in June or so. And since then, I've been reading a lot of him. I've actually bought two of his books yesterday, two of his collections of poetry, just really enjoying his style and his voice.
Excellent. I played a recording in class. Have you heard other recordings of his voice, or have you seen him on video? There's a movie out about him as well.
Right. There's a documentary out on him. I've seen clips of that. I think we talked about this in the class. I've seen a video of him basically flip out on his fiancée.
Right.
They were fighting really hard, and the funniest part was after the fight, there's just text on the screen that says they got married the next year, and it was funny to me.
Excellent. All right, what's the title of the poem that you're going to share with us this afternoon?
I want to share a poem called Serious, Thin, and Unlikely to Succeed.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Christopher Yu with an original poem.
Serious, thin, and unlikely to succeed, I kill a boy on a Wednesday in the bathroom of a private suite overlooking Powell. As I leave, some city remains the same. The wind still howls, the fog still eats, but there are no cable cars tonight, no wharfs, no childish museums. Only the cocked hips and bare cheeks of the woman working for her man. Only the packs of dogs with no hair, no teeth, shivering on cold concrete with cans for the week. Only their metal, only their stone, only quick coins. Only secret drunken cells tonight. Only the thump of the still brash, the still young but somehow older seed. Tonight, my bar is somewhat further down the street.
All right. That was Christopher Yu reading Serious, Thin, and Unlikely to Succeed. Christopher, that was wonderful. Thanks very much for sharing that.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sure. This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Dayton. Listening to some experimental jazz this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Malachi Thompson with a tune called An Elevated Cry. It's from a CD called Chicago's Avant Today. Avant-garde jazz here on the radio. Harry Fong is here. He calls himself an improving amateur poet. He's also a future law school student, currently a student at University of California at Davis, and he's brought with him a poem to share with all of you. Harry, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Andy.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So, you call yourself an improving amateur poet. What are the ways that you felt that you've improved as an amateur poet in recent months?
Yeah, I wrote that to set the standard low.
Okay.
Right. Well, in the beginning, I guess I wasn't used to writing poetry. So I was like, I was writing poems that were too simple, or maybe like hiding too many things so no one could hold on to like any information and understand it. And then since I like rap, I took some inspiration from pop. And I guess that doesn't quite work as well in poetry.
What's the title of the poem that you're going to share with us this afternoon?
A Blue Ocean.
Great, let's hear it.
All right. When the blue ocean was only a minute dot in the Red Sea, I told him, jump into the blue. He chose red. In the Red Sea, I'm always safe. But the blue ocean spreads further. A current of new ideas spawn innovative ways that overcome. Until the blue swallows the red. He has fallen to a footnote. Niche becomes mainstream. Mainstream becomes niche. How the world works. A blue ocean dissolving tradition.
All right, Harry Fong. So, Harry, have there been any poets that you've discovered this quarter that you've drawn inspiration from, in addition to the pop stars that you enjoy?
Since I'm trying to find my style, there's each poem was inspired by a different author, right? But I liked she was in our book, but Mary Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
I like the naturistic poetry that she writes.
She's a terrific poet and a poet who really resonates with a lot of people. When you look to see the bestseller list of poetry, it's somewhat of a self-contradictory term, but nevertheless, Mary Oliver is often on that list because of the ways that, especially as you say, her nature poetry appeals to a number of audiences, including people who don't always consider themselves poets, even amateurs. All right, Harry, thanks very much for sharing that poem today on the radio show.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and we'll be right back with another poet. Stick around. Listen to this experimental jazz, I'd like to remind everyone that Bob Ostertag, a former guest on this radio show, and a professor of technicultural studies and music at the University of California at Davis, Bob Ostertag has a new album out. I'm not sure what it's called, but you can find out immediately by heading over to bobostertag.com. Why? Because he presents his music to be downloaded for free. He's certainly one of the most talented musicians that you'll find teaching at UC Davis, working largely with experimental electronic music. This music that we're hearing in the background, this track called Holiday for a Despot by Jeff Parker, reminded me just a little bit of Bob Ostertag's music. You'll have to see if you download his most recent album. What you think and how you might assign its genre. Right now, Karina Contreras is here in the studio and in the hot seat. Karina Contreras is a poet. She also someday plans to be a singer and a performer on Broadway or some other excellent venue where she can share with all of you her theatricality and confidence. Karina, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. Well, what's the title of the poem that you're going to share with us this afternoon?
Rollin'.
All right. Let's hear your poem.
Rollin'. I see surreal visions out front, and my flimsy finger flickers at the light. Red eyes get more red with this blunt as the cloud of air becomes bright. I feel enlightened like a man fresh out of Plato's cave. The sun's outward rays illuminate my brain and erase all use of cliches. At nightfall, my hand gets tingly and numb as I quickly reach for my instrument before I lose all sensation. Like how our world is entangled in falsities, where those you gaze upon and smile at look at you like you are crazy and don't say hello. Truth came out when I saw you walk away from me after you said you wanted to be my friend. Your hand and my hand were intertwined in, out, and around the river bend. Where you walked, I went. Now you have left and ran quickly with the ferocious stares you sped away. And I forget why I began to move my hand towards you. And so I roll another one, but this time in paper. Feelings subside and get blown away with each puff I take.
Excellent. That was Katrina Contreras sharing with us her original poem, Rolling. Tell me, won't you, what do you think of Yusuf Kumanyaka? Thoughts?
I really like his poetry. It's like very realism. Mm-hmm. And I just really like it.
I do too. He's someone I should really get on the show at some point. He's a Vietnam War vet who, as you say, writes realist, sometimes hard-hitting poetry about his experiences in Vietnam, and also about what it was to be an African-American soldier in Vietnam and what it was to return home in his life afterwards. A great poet, if those of you listening are looking for great poets to check out. We're coming up on the end of the show. I've got another public service announcement to share, a little bit more jazz, and then the end of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour as I head over to the Davis Farmers Market. We'll be back in a moment to hear that PSA and to thank our undergraduate poets. Here, on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Habla Ricardo Montalbán. Hay muchas maneras de medir el éxito. Para los Shriners son los casi 700,000 niños con problemas ortopédicos o quemaduras que ellos han ayudado tratándolos por toda América del Norte con los últimos adelantos médicos por más de 80 años y completamente gratis. Hay un hospital Shriners que trata a los niños de esta zona. Si conoce a un niño que los Shriners podrían ayudar, llame al 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, dispensando ayuda y esperanza a los niños desde hace más de 80 años.
Thank all of you listening at home for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. Quick reminder of something that you already know, and that is that on this radio station, you're going to hear independently chosen music, independently researched, sometimes by local bands or bands traveling through Davis of the Sacramento Valley, with a focus on authenticity in music and in voice and in opinions that you're not going to find in just about any other radio station. Certainly not radio stations that are pre-programmed by big CEOs, big honchos, big music executives in faraway places like Los Angeles and New York. No, we are locally driven here, and this is why you will find surprising combinations of music and sometimes music and words. We also have 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this radio show. Shows such as This Week in Science on Tuesday mornings, Radio Parallax on Thursday afternoons, and Speaking in Tongues on Friday afternoons. You'll hear on those shows a wide variety of voices representing opinions and perspectives that you're not going to hear anywhere but on KDVS. This is Dr. Andy sending out thanks to all of my undergraduate poets who came by this afternoon to share with you their work. Joe, Evan, Karina, Christopher, Jacob, Crystal, Philip, and Harry all came by to share with you their poems. And I see here that Corey put his name on the sign-up sheet just to say that he would be listening at home. He is studying for a final exam in one of his summer classes. Thanks to all of you poets. Thanks to those of you at home. I'll see you next week for another edition of this radio show, with a reminder that also next week is the last poetry performance at Bistro 33 as part of the ongoing Poetry Night reading series. That series is moving over to the John Atsulis Gallery, but a week from tonight, it'll be Bob Stanley, the Poet Laureate of Sacramento, at Bistro 33. My name is Dr. Andy. Keep it right here on KDVS for Cool and Deadly. DJ Tangosaurus Rex is in the house, and she's eager to share with you some great music. I'll see you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.